It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Josh Rollerson, in for Paul Guggenheimer. Watch any movie about friends reuniting, and it's a pretty good chance one of them will turn out to be a writer. And with Anthony Breznican, it's a case of life imitating art. The first-time novelist is a senior writer for Entertainment Weekly magazine. He's come home to Pittsburgh for a high school reunion, which, as it happens, coincides with the release of his first novel, Brutal Youth. Anthony Breznican, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here.
And congratulations on the publication.
Thanks.
This is your first novel?
Yes, very first novel.
So, I mean, you write for Entertainment Weekly. You make your living putting words together. You are a professional writer, but as a first-time novelist, how did this book come about? How long did it take?
Well, I gravitated toward writing about film and entertainment because I think I was drawn to storytellers and creative types, and I always wanted to tell my own story. I enjoy telling the stories of other storytellers, but this was mine. And it was inspired by this song that Elvis Costello wrote in 1994, which is the year I graduated high school. The song is called Favorite Hour, and there's a line in it that goes, "Now there's a tragic waste of brutal youth." And I remember hearing that, and I was always in trouble in high school. I was not a great student. I guess I had a bad attitude, but I thought, man, there's some truth in that song. The song is about blessings that don't count, small mercies and such. And I sure experienced both of those things. Good times that I didn't appreciate because I was too caught up in the hardship of growing up. You know, I had my 20th high school reunion this past weekend, and I still think about so many of those friends, even ones I haven't seen in years. And it's because I think we all have hard times growing up. It's not about the hard times, though. We remember those maybe if we think of the glass being half empty instead of half full. But really, it's the friendships that pull us through any hard times. And some people have it worse than others. But everybody can remember the teacher or the friend or the stranger who stuck their neck out for you.
Well, I mean, less people get the idea that this is a novel of nostalgia for the good old days of prep school. There's a little darkness to this story.
A lot of darkness to this story. You know, I wanted it to be a high school story that felt, for adults, the way being a kid feels when you are a kid. You know, you get some distance on grades 9 through 12, and you start to wonder, why was I so caught up in whether this girl liked me or the fight I had with my friend or getting sent to the principal's office or getting yelled at by my parents? Like, why was that so catastrophic at the time? And I think it is catastrophic. It's your whole life, and you're figuring out how to be a grown-up. You're figuring out how to have control and how to have power. You're going from being a kid to being an adult, and that's a dangerous and perilous time. And the reason I wanted to tell a story about that age is, and have it be full of darkness, have it be full of the worst-case scenarios, is that it's very easy to go wrong a little bit or a lot at that age and then stay on the wrong path. Not become an evildoer or something like that, but just become hardened and become cruel and become cynical about the world. And there's a lot of cynicism in the book, but there are also characters who stand up for each other, and I hope that it has some heart too.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's do a little synopsis of the story so that people can understand what you're talking about. This is set in a prep school, a boarding school?
It's set at a Catholic school in Western PA, all around my hometown of New Kensington and Arnold and Tarentum and Natrona Heights. Since I live in Los Angeles, I miss that location. So this was my way of visiting in my imagination, if no other way. It's set at a crumbling Catholic school called St. Michael the Archangel. And it's falling apart both internally and externally, meaning the building itself, when it rains, the brick is dissolving and it kind of seeps red in a very sort of creepy walls bleeding way, which if that happens on your first day of high school, you can tell something's going wrong here.
Did that happen to you?
No, but actually, I meant it more metaphorically when I wrote it. And I heard from a reader of the book who said, "This is happening at my church. When it rains, there's a leak in the roof and it's dissolving the old brick and the walls are seeping red." And I'm thinking, that's either a miracle or a curse, but it apparently does really happen.
Good literary imagery.
Exactly. Yeah. And the school has become a place that's a dumping ground, essentially, for troubled kids and also for kids whose parents are deeply religious and want them away from public school. So in a way, it's like kids who are too dangerous for public school and kids who are trying to stay away from that, all thrown in together in sort of a perfect Darwinist mix of survival of the fittest.
When you talk about details of the story, reflecting details from your own life, how much was your school experience like the one portrayed here?
It's funny because I borrowed some real things. You know, there was some initiation and hazing at my school. It was sanctioned. It was considered good for the kids to, the newcomers to bond, and it was a way for the older kids to vent. They've since done away with that, I've learned. And I think a lot of the schools in the area have done away with that. And we've seen a lot of the anti-bullying movement take root and really say, look, fun and games is one thing, but a lot goes on that the adults don't see. And so I put some of that in the story.
Well, and it's something that, like, as you say, all of us can kind of intuitively recognize from our own experience. But this novel comes out right in the midst of this national dialogue we're having about bullying and abuse. Was that part of your thinking as you were writing, or did that just sort of happen organically?
I've been writing it for a number of years, and I think the bullying thing really just became more and more prominent as time went on. And now there's a lot of talk about it, and that's good. I didn't write it to be an anti-bullying screed. I would have thought anybody who's old enough to read this book should know that you don't treat people that way, that you don't push people around.
And you've gotten good reviews so far. You've got blurbs from Gillian Flynn and someone named Stephen King.
Yeah, somebody named Stephen King. He's a guy I read from when I was 12 years old. I was reading Stephen King, and I thought, I want to write stories like this guy. And I would write little ghost stories in my notebooks before I even had a typewriter. And the book is very much inspired by him and the kinds of stories he tells. You know, he's a horror novelist.
Right.
That's the first word everybody thinks of when they think of Stephen King.
He never got enough credit for being a straight literary writer. He has real fiction chops.
But even in his novels that are, you would say, are not horror based, like Stand By Me, which was from his novella The Body, or The Shawshank Redemption, there are scary elements in every one of them. In Stand By Me, they're going to find a dead body.
Right.
There's real darkness in that story, and real loneliness and real heartbreak. And I think he works often in the genre of horror, but the reason he is so successful as a storyteller is I think he tells love stories, not romance, not traditional love stories, but he tells stories about people who care about each other. The Stand is about the world being wiped out by a disease, but it's about a certain group coming together and banding together and trying to survive, and then another group banding together and trying to dominate and trying to rule. And actually, I found a lot of inspiration in The Stand for my story. I think it's a similar thing. There's some people who reach down their hands to help you out, and some people who reach down their hands to push you a little lower, push themselves up. So when I wrote this book, I sent a galley of it to Stephen King and wrote him a letter first and said, would you mind if I send this to you? I think you'll react well to it. You're the writer who inspired me. I know you've heard that from 1,000 people, but the favor I ask is that you would read the first 5 pages and let me earn every page after that. And he did, and he sent me a beautiful blurb for the jacket of the book. Praise like that is just something my 12-year-old self could only have dreamed of. And I think his name, it means something to me, not just because he's famous, but because his stories really informed the book.
You're listening to Essential Pittsburgh, and we're talking with Anthony Bresnahan, author of Brutal Youth, talking about the influence that Stephen King's writing had on you. What about you? Do you have a genre novel in you? Are you going to go into the fantastic maybe next time around?
I would love to. You know, I hope this book works. Every first-time novelist will tell you their dream is not just to have it sell well, but to have it sell well enough that you get a second chance at it. And, I would love to tell I'd love to tell the genre story. I've got a haunted house story in me somewhere, I think. I'd love to tell. I think the kinds of stories I love are reality-based, but push it to a bit of an extreme. I love The Sopranos. I love Mad Men. I love Breaking Bad, which I feel like are novels for television. And they all have elements of serious darkness in them and all have characters that you're not supposed to like easily. One of the things I've noticed in the reviews for the book is some people like this and some people don't, but that there's not one single character who's only good or bad. In fact, my wife was just reading it again last week. She wanted to wait until the final version of the book was out before reading it. She'd read it in manuscript form, but she said, it's funny, you know, there are characters where I'm rooting for them to get their comeuppance. And then they finally do, and right before you let that happen, you make me feel bad for them. I thought, well, that's a good story, I hope.
Yeah, that's a high compliment.
You know, I hope that you feel bad for the good guys and good about the good guys. And I hope there are times you feel sympathy for the characters who aren't so good.
It's interesting to hear you compare it to a show like Breaking Bad, which is so much like a serial novel almost.
Yeah.
And as somebody who covers Hollywood and writes about, I'm assuming you know a little bit about the process whereby novels are adapted into TV shows and films. Is that something you see in the future for Brutal Youth?
I really hope so. There's, you know, the book's only been out a few weeks, so it's gotta exist as a book first. And the book is my baby. I didn't write it hoping to get a movie deal or something like that. But I think if you write a song, it's kind of interesting to hear someone else perform that song too, to do a cover version of it. And of course, that's a way of bringing the story to another audience. And for me, the story is the story, whether it's in audiobook form or in a paper book or on a tablet somewhere. It's the story that means a lot to me. And so any way that that story can get out there, I'm all in favor of it. My dream, if I had a magic lamp and could wish for something besides more wishes, I would hope that it might be considered as a series, because I have more stories from this world I'd like to tell. And this follows 1 year in the life of some students who face a very hard time. And as the years go by, I think there are different challenges to growing up. And I'd love to explore those. Hopefully people will want to hear them.
You're listening to Essential Pittsburgh. We're talking with Anthony Bresnikan, author of Brutal Youth. Anthony is a Pittsburgh native, and this is a novel that has a setting in southwestern Pennsylvania. Anthony, could you talk about this book as a story about the Pittsburgh area? How much does this, the setting, inform the content?
I don't think it could be set anywhere else. And when I was writing it, I was pulling little things that I missed from the area into the story as a way of revisiting them. But I also thought, wow, I'm telling this very mean story about my hometown. I hope people don't think I think it's a bad place to grow up. I don't. I think the opposite is true. I throw a lot of hard times at these kids. It's about who has your back, who turns their back, who stabs you in the back. You know, there are a lot of double crossing, and there are a lot of authority figures who have chips on their shoulders. And I didn't want people to interpret it as a criticism of this area or these people. In fact, I think Pittsburgh, the reason I would have said it here if I knew the area and I hadn't had a past here, I would say it's because this is the culture of the Pittsburgh area of Western Pennsylvania is a tough culture. We're people who know what it's like to work hard, to not have things come easy to us. We've been buffeted by forces that we can't control, economic and otherwise and weather-wise, you know. We're people who know what that means, that phrase, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. But we also know you can't always do that. Sometimes you need somebody to reach down. Bootstraps aren't enough. Mm-hmm. You need a hand. And we're an area that has it's a sports town. And anybody who cares about sports knows the value of a team, of those people who play with you, you know, who stick by you, the Steelers, the Pirates. These, you know, these don't exist because of one star player. You have a star, but they have a whole team behind them. And so we understand that as a community, how you come together. It's a union town. Same deal there. You stand up for your brothers and sisters. You speak up when you see something wrong. You speak up when there's a grievance. And I love that culture. I love that idea of we're in this together.
Anthony Bresnikan's novel is Brutal Youth. He's a senior writer for Entertainment Weekly magazine and a Pittsburgh native. Anthony Bresnikan, thanks for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Well, thanks for having me.
And before we go today, this program note, Essential Pittsburgh will be taking a summer break the week of July 14th through the 18th. The program will return with live shows on July 21st. Next week, though, you can enjoy the daily arts and culture program Q with Gian Gomeshi at noon. And at 8 p.m., find out what drives human behavior on the program TRBQ with Dean Olscher. And of course, you can always listen to past episodes of Essential Pittsburgh online or check out the podcast in iTunes. I'm Josh Rollerson, sitting in for Paul Guggenheimer. Thanks for listening.